When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. You can hear us from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand on the iHeart app. And today, I would definitely listen to the podcast if you didn't get to hear the whole show, because Ken Champeau made an appearance at 2 o'clock as we celebrated OJ's death. And I've been watching the TV screens all afternoon. All I see is O.J. Simpson dead. O.J. Simpson dead. I can't get enough of it. So anyway, Ken came by for a visit. We played a number of old clips and some audio of TV coverage of KFI and O.J. from years ago. So you'll want to listen to this. It's a good entertainment this evening. And, you know, we're going to talk with Steve Gregory now. And after Steve, I'll go through a rundown of what our coverage was like back in 1994, 1995, the inside story of how we ended up covering it the way we did. And it turned into quite a sensation. So we could relive that. Steve Gregory covered the only trial where OJ was found guilty. Everybody forgets this.
And not only that, I was sitting in the courtroom on that Friday night when he was put into handcuffs and taken away. And I'll never forget the sound of the clicking of the handcuffs going around him, because we had a microphone in the time, and we were taking it live here at KFI. It was a late Friday night, like 10 o'clock at night. And you could hear, you know, just a pin drop when the jury came back after deliberating. And then all of a sudden that the jury foreperson stood up there and said guilty 12 times. And everyone was just like, there was just these collective gasps all over in there. And it was just such an interesting moment. And then OJ's sister passed out and collapsed in the courtroom. I mean, it turned into this drama that just unfolded right in front of me.
Everyone had been waiting so long.
Well, some people had been waiting so long for that moment. Others thought he was getting by with it.
And well, yeah, he was Teflon up until that moment.
And it's, you know, bringing everyone up to speed. So we're looking back in 07. This was 2007. He had gotten together with some of his gang, his entourage, and they were really pumping him up, telling him that this guy was peddling his sports memorabilia from past years, trophies, jerseys, certificates, and photos of him in college. And that they knew where he was at. And did you want to get his stuff back? And OJ's like, I want to get my stuff back. And what was interesting about it, just gives you an idea of the kind of company he kept. Those people were recording all the conversations all this time because they knew what they were doing was effed up.
Oh, they were trying to jack him up and get him angry, yeah, and see what would happen.
Yeah. And so they met that at a bar, and then they went to the hotel. And it was at one of those seedy, like C-level hotels in south or north, actually north of the Strip. And they get in there, and it was Bruce Vermong. He was the collector, and he had the stuff spread out. And so the guy that kind of set it up sort of brokered this deal. They all go in there, and you hear OJ losing it, saying, you know, you got all this is my stuff. You stole it. And then Bruce Vermong's caught off guard and then turned into this nasty thing. Well, then all of a sudden, this guy pulls a gun out. In the hotel room.
One of OJ's buddies
pulls out a gun. Now it turns into kidnapping, an armed robbery. Oh. Now, kidnapping is the most serious of the two crimes. So when it happens and then they get their stuff and they get out, they're all laughing and patting themselves on the back. Vermong calls the cops. And cops show up and tell them what's happening. They look at the video and they're like, yeah, that's kidnapping and armed robbery.
Wow. So the moment he pulls out the gun, turned everything into serious felonies.
Totally. Now, OJ claimed all the way up through the trial, as we sat there every day, he claimed that he had no knowledge that someone had a gun with him. He claimed that he was just going there to get his stuff back because it was stolen from him. But defense attorney Yale Galanter out of Florida and Gabe Grasso, who was his Vegas attorney, they did not convince that jury. And after he was found guilty, they tried very soon after to file an appeal based on the fact that the jury, they claimed the jury was biased, and all this was revenge for 94.
I could see that. That's plausible.
Yeah.
If I was on the jury, I would have done that.
And I recall, it was interesting, I recall that was such an interesting case, and I don't know if you recall this or not, but it was very tense. I mean, it was very, in covering that was intense for me because I was servicing your show, you know, the Handle show, the morning show, the midday show, the night show, the all of our network affiliates. And I mean, I thought I was having a heart attack one day. Yeah, I don't know if you ever knew that. I had to call my doctor because I thought I was having a heart attack from all the crap I was eating, no sleep, the food, the junk food, all the crap that was going on.
Well, that was your whole life.
That was my whole life.
Why would that day be any different?
So that was back when we were covering those kinds of things. I was out there, 2 months, almost 3 months.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And so it was a pretty stressful event, and it was fascinating to be in the courtroom that night and seeing him be put in handcuffs and taken away. And then he served just a little over 8 years. He got 8.5 to 33 years. And he was such a model prisoner that he finally was up for parole and he got it. And I remember sitting in that parole room in Carson City, Nevada with the prison commission, the parole board rather, up in Carson City. And he sat there and he was this model prisoner. He was a mentor to other inmates. He was a janitor. He was a cook's assistant. He did all these little menial tasks in prison. And they said he was just a docile, gentle old man.
And he seemed to weather the experience pretty well. He came out and, you know, it didn't look like he was broken really.
No, because in prison, he was a star. He was still a star to those guys. Those guys looked up to him. He was a big fish in that prison.
He got affirmation every day. He got his ego fed every day.
Every day, which fed into his narcissism.
So, yeah, maybe it was somehow more pleasant than coming back outside, because out in the real world,
he wasn't the big fish anymore, except to a small group of people.
Right. Yeah. His loyal friends. But, you know, much of the public, I'm sure he heard constantly all kinds of ugly things yelled at him.
Yeah. Listen, well, there were a lot of people that just thought he was a celebrity and they wanted to have their pictures with him. But you got to remember during the trial, I remember during breaks, he would walk to the back of the courtroom where we were at and he'd come up and start talking with us. He'd say, "Hey, fellas, how you doing?" Mm. And then he'd say, "Hey, you know, are you staying here? Where are you guys from?" And say, "You know, we're from LA, blah, blah, blah." And then he's like, "Well, you know, any good places to eat? Have you been there?" And he said, "I got a good Italian place." Then I'll never forget when he said, "How many of you guys here are married?" And it's like one guy in the whole row, and the rest of us are single. And he's like, "Hey, you know, I guess if you ever need some company, I know exactly where you can get a date." The Las Vegas Athletic Club. He says some of the best looking women there. I'm like, really, OJ? You're about to go to prison. But that's the kind of demeanor he had. This was just another performance.
Well, you talked about his narcissism. And, you know, I would read about this, but OJ was like the real life poster child for what narcissism is.
Sure.
And they're usually quite charming. And they can be pretty smart and charming and really draw you in. And then there's a dark side, you know, if you don't worship properly. Nicole tried to break away.
If you don't worship properly,
No, they have to be worshipped. They need constant attention. Their ego needs constant maintenance. And they get really upset very quickly if they're not the center of all the love.
She was also the victim of domestic violence for how long, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she bruises and to prove it. But I know we're running out of time, but I have a special treat for you if you want it.
Big boy. What?
How would you like to talk to one of the first responding officers to the murder scene?
I would.
He's ready to go after the break.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I did not know. I've known him for years and did not know he was one of the first officers on scene and had to work the whole scene that night. He's got intel he's never talked about before.
Nicole, you're talking about.
No.
No, you're talking about the murder scene.
The murder scene. Yeah, in Bundy.
On Bundy, okay.
He was one of the first on scene, and he said, I said, can you come on talk this afternoon? He goes, yeah.
Well, definitely. So, all right, we'll put him on next.
After the break.
Okay. Thank you.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Today it's all OJ, and you'll enjoy it. You should listen to the whole thing if you haven't heard any of it so far. You're just joining us. We had Ken on. Ken Champeau came back. He was on for a segment at 2 o'clock. And we've been playing some clips from the OJ coverage in the 1990s and telling stories from behind the scenes, how we ended up covering OJ in such an intense way for all those years. Now, let me see. We're getting them? Okay. Steve Gregory was just on, and he was talking about covering the only trial that OJ was found guilty. And that was stealing his own memorabilia back and being charged with kidnapping. And that was when he and his buddies burst in on these memorabilia dealers who did have a bunch of OJ's old stuff. Then one of OJ's accomplices pulled out a gun, and it turned into felony charges. Kidnapping, what was the other big charge? Kidnapping.
Armed robbery.
Armed robbery, that's right. And at the end, he goes, I got a surprise for you. Lieutenant Dan Gonzalez from LAPD, who was there at the Bundy murder scene.
At the murder scene. I've known Dan for many, many years. And he's just someone that I used to interview for stories and stuff. He used to always pop up and is always really good with the media. And we just became friends over the years. And he's texting me all this stuff this morning about how, you know, he's like, oh, I remember when this happened. And he says, I was first at the crime scene where we had to sneak the kids out the back and then responded to Rockingham to notify OJ who wasn't home. I mean, I'm just like, wow. Wait, what? You were there? And all these years, I had no idea.
Well, let's get Dan on. Dan Gonzalez, Lieutenant. How are you?
Hey, John. Good to talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a secret.
Yeah, after all these years that you finally tell me, you've been keeping this under wraps and I could have been using you on the air all this time.
I guess I never thought about it because, quite frankly, and I was listening to John because I suffer from the exact same thing that John's been suffering from. Is when this all went down, because I was at both scenes and so involved in it, that when it was found not guilty, it was like depression. Like, I've never watched a single TV show. I couldn't watch the court TV stuff. I couldn't do it because it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. I mean, if I just talked about what I saw, that would take an hour, but I can give you guys a couple bullet points. But like when we got there, you know, that the kids were found inside, the door was open, they stuck the kids out the back. And then when we cleared the scene, we went by the station and the daughter's crying and sobbing and we're getting snacks and breaking up, the saddest thing ever, and getting your drinks. And the little boy is crying and he's patting his the sister saying, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on, but mom will come and pick us up soon.
And this was after mom was killed.
After mom was killed, the kids were at the station and all the cops were in there just doing everything they could to console those cops, to console those kids.
Right.
And no deference has been given to those kids about their mom being murdered by their dad. And John, I'm telling you, this crime scene was not complicated. There was one set of footprints that went out the back. There's probably about 15 of us there. And we saw the glove. We saw some the envelope. We saw the some ski mask or a beanie thing that was there. This was not complicated. It was not a complicated crime scene. We could figure somebody killed him. We saw pictures of OJ inside the house. we figured somebody whacked his ex-wife. Nobody ever thought much of it.
Right.
And then
this is important. You didn't immediately think it was OJ. It didn't seem possible. It must have been somebody else that burst it. Yeah. No, yeah. I had that same reaction too at the time.
Well, and I was 26. I had three kids of my own, and I kind of felt for those two kids that were there, and I couldn't fathom him doing something like that. And I didn't know him, but I knew he was really popular with the cops, and they could play tennis at his house if you called over there. He had these fancy tennis courts that some other singer had built at that house years ago, and he didn't play tennis, so he let us go play tennis. I didn't play tennis, so I never went up there.
Yeah, so I guess. And then a lot of your colleagues showed up, right, and...
Yeah. Well, colleagues showed up, and then when the captain showed up, detectives showed up, me and my partner, we cleared the scene because we were working the Pico Robertson car, and we go back to Pico Robertson area, and now about 4 in the morning, I get a message on my computer. Hey, call the watchmander. So I called we had to go to a payphone and call the watchmander, and the watchmander says, hey, they're door knocking Rockingham. Can you guys jam up there? And they want to notify OJ to come over and pick up those two kids. So we scoot up there, and we go on Rockingham. We see this Bronco kind of parked at the exit. Clearly, it was the exit gate. And we meet up with the detectives, and then they show us, hey, there's something weird about this Bronco. And we shine a light inside, and there's a shovel, a plastic tarp, and a towel, and there's something's going on. And then Mark Furman, he's going to hop over the fence. So we help him go over the fence. He unlatches it, and we go inside, and there's nobody answering the door. And we go to the back, and we don't do door knock this cabana thing. And then out comes Brian Cato, right? And he comes out, and we're like, well, what do you do here? And he's like, I just live here. And we're like, you pay rent? He's like, no. Are you OJ's friends? He's like, no, not really. And then we take him out, and then I have a long conversation with him for like an hour or two, and that could be a whole other story. And then we grab. Yeah.
Did you?
I've actually seen him several times over the years. And, go ahead.
Did you testify in the trial?
Not in the criminal trial, but I testified in a civil trial. And that's the link I sent to Steve. And I'm not a detective. I don't testify very well on the stand. And this reporter captures all that.
Yeah.
She was stuff. Yeah. So my wife thinks and my kids think I've never changed. I'm the same guy. So, but anyhow, so we grab Arnell out. She doesn't know where her dad is. So she calls, she takes us inside and we call the secretary, and the secretary says he's in Chicago, and she's like surprised. So we go outside and we start kind of checking the grounds, and then Mark goes, hey, check this out. And we walk over there and there's a glove. We're like, oh, no way. This can't be the same glove.
So he left one glove at Bundy, and then there was one glove at Rockingham.
Yeah, but there was a whole bunch of us there. There was no planting of evidence and all that stuff. This thing was super simple. I mean, there was nothing to it. The only thing that got jammed up was all the press and just the immaturity of society back then. You remember Natural Born Killers came out that year, and that was such a hit. But you think about the premise of it, and people were all excited about it. They didn't even look at the fact that, Ron, he's murdered for simply returning glasses. I mean, there was nothing nefarious going on when he was returning those glasses. And then the two kids didn't deserve to have their mom killed. But, John, if I can share one quick story for you, because it's something very fascinating that you said earlier about going to the Ambassador Hotel after it happened, right? After the verdict?
After the verdict, yeah, walking to the Ambassador Hotel to cool off.
So about 2 months after this whole incident happens, maybe somewhere around their area, I'm just working regular patrol, and I get cut off by some Mustang with tinted windows. It's at night, and I pull it over, and I walk up, and the window opens. The guy hands me his license, and his name is Jason Roosevelt Kennedy Simpson. And I said, huh, any relation? He goes, no, that's my dad. I'm like, oh, man. I go, I was there. I feel bad that this. I hope you're okay. He's like, yeah, I'm working as a chef. Things are good. I said, that's weird. My boys have two middle names. Why do you have two middle names? He's like, well, my godfather is Rosie Greer, and he helped catch Sirhan. Yes. Sirhan. So he goes, so my dad put those two names, and that's my name.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
So that was, that was OJ's son that you ran into.
Yeah, OJ's son. Yeah.
And you know, there was a theory, Dan, there was a theory that, that Jason is the one that killed him.
No, no, no. He's a nice guy. No, nowhere near the house. It was one half set of footprints leading to the back. And there was the Bruno Magli shoes that our detective screwed up the case and couldn't get that in as evidence. So, yeah. I mean, believe me, we as a police department, I'm getting to retire soon, so I'm not
so you don't care.
To say this about our department. Yeah, I don't really give a crap anymore when it comes to this stuff. But there's no reason to take blood from your suspect and take it back 15 miles to the crime scene.
Yeah, I remember.
There was
that.
No reason to do that. Yeah, yes, right. And yeah. and the fact that remember the processing of the Bronco. That Bronco will change places like 5 different times before they finally process that thing. So of course the evidence never got in. I thought it was pretty significant. There's a shovel in the back of his Bronco. OJ's not shoveling anything. The man doesn't shovel anything.
Yeah, OJ had other plans too. All right.
Yeah,
the plan. Dan, thank you for coming on with us.
No problem.
I was really fascinating to hear a real surprise. Dan Gonzalez, lieutenant with LAPD, who was first on the scene at the murder scene when Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman got murdered by OJ.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the wind down tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We've been devoting the show to O.J. Simpson's death that I'm deliriously happy about. A few things I want to mention. I talked with Gary and Shannon early in the day about a couple of these things just in conversation with them, but I wanted all our regular listeners to hear about these stories as well. And one of them is connected to what Lieutenant Dan Gonzalez said He was one of the first officers to appear at the scene on Monday where Ron and Nicole were murdered. And if you heard, he and the other officers, none of them suspected OJ right away. A lot of them knew OJ. OJ was very popular with the cops, and he played tennis with them and socialized. And so he was a friend of the police, and the police were friends of his. And so there was no prejudging that OJ was guilty. And I remember when we went on the air the Monday after the murder, they got killed on a Sunday night. So this is like 6 o'clock on Monday. And I even listened to the tape a while later. Ken and I didn't think OJ did it. It never occurred to us. Like, it couldn't be, because partly we kind of swallowed, the marketing, the fake OJ that was presented to us, because he did do a good job at that. And we just had just no reason to believe that that would happen. So there was no knee-jerk reaction for us. And we were accused later on of every terrible racial crime in the world for thinking OJ was guilty. And that was our coverage. The reason our coverage burst out was it was obvious he was guilty. You know, all the blood evidence, the DNA evidence, the trail, everything that Dan Gonzalez talked about, whereas a lot of other people in the media tiptoed around it. And the public very quickly caught on to how guilty this guy was. And so us presenting the trial from the angle he's guilty, how are his dirtbag dream team attorneys going to weasel him out of it? How stupid is the jury? How easy is it to manipulate the jury? And, you know, in retrospect, arguing about the evidence all that time was kind of a waste of time, because clearly it was just payback for the Rodney King verdicts. That's really how simple it was. It didn't matter what the evidence was. It doesn't matter the DNA, the blood, you know, the gloves, Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden. No, because the makeup of the jury came from the downtown pool instead of the Santa Monica pool. There was going to be an element of payback for Rodney King. Of course, nobody knew that at the time. And that's why it became such a shock for most people. We were all operating under the guise of, well, here's the evidence, here's the rational, logical verdict. But there was no fair chance at that. That was hopeless. In fact, as we went to the trial, and you may not believe this, I didn't think we were even going to cover it much. We had covered all the happenings in June of that year with the Bronco chase, the murder of the Bronco chase, and eventually him getting arraigned in court. And things went quiet for a while, and there were some pretrial hearings. But January started the trial, and we were going to cover it, you know, maybe a segment every day if the news warranted. And then Ken and I came back from a trip. We'd gone to Washington, D.C., doing some political shows, maybe on immigration. I don't really remember. And we came back, and our program director at the time, David Hall, picked us up at the airport. And you know, it's always a little nerve-wracking. We just started. We were only there. Oh, were we there? Like a year and a half? A year and a half when the murder happened, 2 years by the time of the trial. And he shows up and he goes, I want you to go all OJ all the time. Because we'd been thinking it was burned out. We would think that the audience was tired of it. Maybe we were tired of it. You know, it had been a whole summer and a whole fall of it. And now, you know, a lot of times trials are anticlimactic. They're just the P.S. Oh, it's obviously he was guilty. P.S. Yeah, they really convicted him. Because really, nobody saw this coming. But what had happened, I think it was in January of that year, KNX, one of our rivals, had done wall-to-wall coverage, which sounded boring to most of us because, you know, there was a lot of slow talking and dead air when you cover a trial. But people were eating it up. And so we went to all OJ all the time mode and got an enormous audience because we covered it exactly the way we saw it. We were aggressive. We were loud. We were telling people the truth, that this whole trial was going to turn out to be a scam, that these were all false stories. You know, Johnny Cochran was a world-class, highly paid professional liar. And so were the rest of those. They were just rats. They were sociopaths. It was a collection of sociopaths. It was a collection of people who just wanted to get paid a lot of money from OJ. and they were willing to say anything to get it. And they knew they had a jury. I mean, that was primed for that message. It was bad jury selection on part of the prosecution. And so everything eventually became this huge shock. And that's why we were all so emotionally immersed in it. And that's why it just stuck with us 30 years later. And that's why this is an important day that he finally dies. It was an incredible time to live through. We'll have more coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Caitlyn Jenner put out a nasty post online to commemorate OJ's death. Good riddance, OJ Simpson. Do you know what Caitlyn Jenner once wrote about Simpson? She wrote a memoir back in 2017 that OJ was the most narcissistic, egocentric, neediest a-hole in the world of sports I've ever seen, and I believe he got away with two savage murders. That was, he was married to Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry, he was married to Kris Jenner, and Jenner was married to Robert Kardashian, who was OJ's best friend. And then Kris Jenner gave birth to all the Kardashians and Jenners that we know today. That's just a really tainted gene pool and social circle, isn't it? And it's been dogging us now, what, for 30 years? I tell you, Conway's going to be here in a minute. Just one last thing I want to say is just for me personally, the whole OJ experience, that really, this could sound funny, just kind of shattered my innocence. And I realized what the world really was about. I realized the justice system was something that you couldn't trust. You couldn't trust that district attorneys to make the right decision, Gil Garcetti. And you couldn't trust the prosecutors necessarily to be competent. You couldn't trust, you know, it was pretty clear, and I think Lieutenant Dan Gonzalez alluded to it. There was a lot of sloppiness on the part of LAPD and on the part of the detectives. You know, nobody came out looking good in this. But what I always thought is the only way to approach these things is just look at the facts of the case. And it was obvious, you know, he murdered. And that's it. And maybe everything else is true. Maybe LAPD is a bunch of racists, or the detectives are incompetent boobs, or whatever the story is. But in that moment, it's impossible to dispute that OJ was the guy who killed Nicole and Ron. And everything else that consumed 9.5 months of trial and 30 years of debate is all beside the point. I was just reading a column in the LA Times about, we're all in our different bubbles and we have our different points of view and why can't we agree? And it's all about the race debates and, you know, society. And it's like, no. Just focus on the blood DNA. That's all you need to know. It's a 5-second verdict. That's it. It's the blood trail. There's nothing else to debate here. No need to get into all those other issues or have those other issues taint your decision or taint a verdict. Conway's here.
Hey now. I remember I was in Canada when OJ thing came down. And, you know, when people text you, you know, it happened this morning. So everyone was texting each other, hey, OJ died. And then everybody has to make their jokes. You know, he ran out of juice, which is a good one from somebody on the show. And then there's like, the real killer will never be caught. Everyone has their line. But the best one I heard today is Khloe Kardashian. The rumor is that OJ is Khloe Kardashian's dad.
Right.
And I think it was Greg Gutfeld that said, look, you may have lost a dad today, but you still have two moms.
That's really heartwarming.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great one. I don't know if I can say it on the air, but that's a good one. Jim Moray is coming on with us from Inside Edition. And then Jeff Wald, who started that KTLA Morning News, they covered that wall-to-wall like you guys did.
Jim Moray was the CNN anchor.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. Steve Gregory was all over that story. So we're not going to do wall-to-wall, but open window or whatever.
Up to the staircase.
Maybe. Yeah, right. Maybe. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Maybe it is. But I remember listening to you guys, and I just heard the story coming in, And I didn't know that you guys were told to do that, to go wall to wall by the program director.
I didn't have a strong opinion on it. Yeah. I was worried we were already burning out the story.
Right.
We all were, you know, because we'd been living with it for 6 months already. And at the time, there hadn't been anything comparable. So we had no roadmap to say, can we actually take this, you know, for another 6 months? Are people right. going to listen to it? We didn't know.
I know. And then great.
KNX went first. And then we thought, all right, there is an audience for this. We'll just make it interesting.
Right. And look, it was responsible for a lot of people's career. A lot of people covering that trial are still working in show business.
So it wasn't so much an order as just kind of a discussion. It's like, maybe this is the way we ought to go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But man, listening to you guys, you know, I remember that the entire time listening, you know, online, not online, but listening on the radio. And then, you know, you couldn't miss it because back then there was no way to listen to it afterwards.
Right.
So we had you had to be in your car. You had to be on the radio or you had to have a friend somehow tape the show.
Yeah, right. I know that was the beauty of that era.
Right.
I think you'd get more audience that way because they have to be there.
They have to be there. You can't listen to it later on.
Nobody agrees with me, but.
Or you had to have like a buddy of mine who recorded your show and then listened to it later. And not a chick magnet, by the way. Guy recording afternoon.
Yeah, right.
AM talk. Radio,
yeah.
And then playing it later for the gals.
That's hey, you want to come over to my house and hear an old John and Ken show? We're talking about OJ today. All right, Conrad.
I think talking.
Michael Crozier with the news. Live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.